The Old Testament reading for this fourth Sunday is in Lent is from Isaiah chapter 12. You will say in that day, I will give thanks to you, O Lord, for though you were angry with me, your anger turned away, that you might comfort me. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and will not be afraid, for the Lord God is my strength and my song, and he has become my salvation. With joy you will draw water from the wells of salvation, and you will say in that day, give thanks to the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the peoples, proclaim that his name is exalted. Sing praises to the Lord, for he has done gloriously. Let this be made known to in all the earth. Shout and sing for joy, O inhabitant of Zion, for great in your midst is the Holy One of Israel. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is from 2 Corinthians chapter 5. From now on, therefore, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we once regarded Christ according to the flesh, we regard him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us a message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you, on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. This is the word of the Lord.
We turn to Psalm 32, which is found in the front of the hymnal. We will read the psalm by whole verse. I will read the odd number verses. The congregation will read the even number verses. Blessed is the one whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered.
Blessed is the man against whom the Lord counts no iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no deceit.
For when I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long.
For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My strength was dried up as by the heat of summer.
I acknowledged my sin to you, and I did not cover my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin.
Therefore, let everyone who is godly offer prayer to you at a time when you may be found. Surely in the rush of great waters, they shall not reach him.
You are a hiding place for me. You preserve me from trouble. You surround me with shouts of deliverance.
I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you with my eye upon you.
Be not like a horse or a mule without understanding, which must be curbed with bit and bridle, or it will not stay near you.
Many are the sorrows of the wicked, but steadfast love surrounds the one who trusts in the Lord.
Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, O righteous, and shout for joy, all you upright in heart.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 15th chapter. Now the tax collectors and sinners were all drawing near to hear Jesus. And the Pharisees and the scribes grumbled, saying, "This man receives sinners and eats with them." So he told them this parable. There was a man who had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, "Father, give me the share of property that is coming to me." And he divided his property between them. Not many days later, the younger son gathered all he had and took a journey into a far country. And there he squandered his property in reckless living. And when he had spent everything, a severe famine arose in that country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, who sent him into his fields to feed pigs. And he was longing to be fed with the pods that the pigs ate, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, "How many of my father's hired servants have more than enough bread, but I perish here with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and I will say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me as one of your hired servants.' And he arose and came to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion, and ran and embraced him and kissed him. And the son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Bring quickly the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring the fattened calf and kill it, and let us eat and celebrate. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' And they began to celebrate. Now his older son was in the field, and as he came and drew near to the house, he heard music and dancing, and he called one of the servants and asked, What these things meant? And he said to them, 'Your brother has come, and your father has killed the fatted calf, because he has received him back safe and sound.' But he was angry and refused to go in. His father came out and entreated him, but he answered his father, 'Look, these many years I have served you, and I never disobeyed your command. Yet you never gave me a young goat that I might celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours came, who has devoured your property with prostitutes, you killed the fatted calf for him.' And he said to him, 'Son, you are always with me, and all that is mine is yours. It was fitting to celebrate and be glad, for this your brother was dead and is alive. He was lost and is found.'" This is the gospel of the Lord. The word of God that engages us for our meditation today comes to us from Psalm 32. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, and from the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. What makes you blessed? Many people can answer that question saying, "My family makes me blessed. My friends make me blessed. The fact that I can travel makes me blessed. My health makes me blessed." There are a lot of things that go down on our list when we're asked the question, "What makes you blessed?" Jesus would answer the question by saying, "Blessed are the pure at heart. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Blessed are the meek." And today, we hear in Psalm 32, "Blessed is the one whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man against whom the Lord counts no iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no deceit. They are the ones who do not lie to themselves, but see their own sin and look to God. And they see the holy cross of our Lord Jesus Christ and the blood that he pours out for them. They know that they are blessed, not just in a way that stands right now, in a temporal way, but in an eternal way. For with their sins forgiven, heaven has been opened to them." What makes you blessed? Blessed is the one whose transgression is forgiven. But the psalmist doesn't stop there. He says, "For when I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My strength was dried up as by the heat of summer." In John chapter 16, there is a place there that probably speaks the most directly about the work of the Holy Spirit. And when Jesus speaks there, he says, "It is good that I go away, for then if I did not go away, the Helper would not come. and he will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. It is the Holy Spirit's work to convict us of sin. And it is good. And we are blessed when God's hand is heavy upon us. We are blessed when we continue to feel the pangs of our sin within our own heart. We are blessed because it means that the Holy Spirit is doing his work. And what happens when we stop caring about our sin? What happens when we cast aside those pangs that are within us? What happens when we begin to view ourselves as pretty much righteous? Who are we really denying? For it is the Holy Spirit's work to convict us of sin. And we are blessed when God's hand is heavy upon us. Blessed is the one whose transgressions are forgiven. And the psalmist continues. He says, I acknowledged my sin to you, and I did not cover my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin. Every one of us who has gone through catechism class has learned these words. What is the office of the keys? The office of the keys is that special authority which Christ has given to his church on earth to forgive the sins of repentant sinners, but to withhold forgiveness from the unrepentant as long as they do not repent. What do you believe according to these words? I believe that when the called ministers of Christ deal with us by his divine command, in particular, when they exclude openly unrepentant sinners from the Christian congregation and absolve those who repent of their sins and want to do better, this is just as valid and certain even in heaven as if Christ our dear Lord dealt with us himself. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord. How do we confess our transgressions unto the Lord? Well, we know where the office of the keys is. We saw Jesus at the end of John's gospel. He meets with his disciples in the upper room, and there he breathes on them. And he says, receive the Holy Spirit. Any sin you forgive, it is forgiven. Any sin you do not forgive, it is not forgiven. And so we look where God has placed his mark. And today, as we stood here and we confessed our sins, that absolution was just as sure and certain in heaven as if Christ were standing here himself. He said to you, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and your sins were forgiven. And yet sometimes we have those sins that weigh heavily upon us. And we learned in the catechism, what sins should we confess before God? Before God, we plead guilty of all sins, even those sins we're not aware of. But before the pastor, we confess those sins that we know and feel in our hearts. And we have a great gift in the gift of absolution, in the gift of confession, of going in and saying, these are my sins, and then hearing immediately, your sins are forgiven. So that when that sin wells up in your heart again, you can tell Satan, God has already told me that sin has been forgiven. And no matter how you make me feel about it, I know that before God I stand clean. And I am blessed. Blessed is the one whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. And the psalmist goes on, saying, therefore, let everyone who is godly offer prayer to you at a time when you may be found. Surely in the rush of great waters they shall not reach him. You are a hiding place for me. You preserve me from trouble. You surround me with shouts of deliverance." These words echo that flood that came in Noah's day. How were you prepared for the flood? You were on the ark. And when he says, "Surely in the rush of great waters, they shall not reach him," he's saying that on the day of judgment, it will be too late. Now is the time of repentance. Now is the time to receive forgiveness. Now is the time that God's grace is poured out upon you, and he says that I am surrounded by deliverance. For on the one hand, we could be surrounded by the waters of God's wrath, but on the other hand, we are surrounded by God's grace. And we pass through the waters of holy baptism. We are already drowned in those waters. We are drowned so that we might rise again and live a new life in him. The time when the flood comes, it is too late to repent. So now we turn to God and we look to his grace and we hold on to the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. For in that we have deliverance. In that we have our sins forgiven. What makes you blessed? Blessed is the one whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sin is covered. And the psalmist says, "I will instruct you," and he shifts to God speaking and says, "I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you with my eye upon you. Be not like a horse or a mule without understanding, which must be curbed with bit and bridle, or it will not stay near you." In the end of the book of Matthew, Jesus says, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you." We still sit at the feet of Christ, as Mary did, and we listen to his words, that he might instruct us, he might tell us, "This is my way." We're not like a horse or a mule who don't care to be along with the person unless they have a bit in their mouth. We are those who have been given the Holy Spirit that we might desire in love to hear the words that God has to say to us, that we might hear truth. Whether that truth is heavy upon us and convicts us of our sin, or whether that truth is in the cross of Jesus, which frees us and gives us life eternal, or whether that word is a word that hits our ears and lets us say, "That is how I want to be, because that is how God has made me, and that is what God wants of me." Not like an animal who must be pulled along, but willingly, because we love the God who has come and saved us. And so the psalmist ends out his psalm, saying, "Many are the sorrows of the wicked, but steadfast love surrounds the one who trusts in the Lord. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, O righteous, and shout for joy, all you upright at heart." The steadfast love of the Lord is seen in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, where his blood is poured out. Let the hand of the Lord be heavy upon you, and come to that cross and be freed. Let him point out the truth of your life, that you might see the truth of his grace. Stand as one who is blessed. Sure, we'll have many blessings in this life, but all of those blessings go away with time. In the end, the greatest blessing we have is the forgiveness that Christ has given to us. For in that we have not just momentary pleasure, momentary joy, but a joy that lasts forever. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin. God has opened the kingdom of heaven through that blood that was poured out for you. What makes you blessed? I pray it is in these words. Blessed is the one whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man whom the Lord counts no iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no deceit. In the name of Jesus, amen. May the peace of God that surpasses all understanding keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.